You just feel like shouting out, Jesus saves. Thank God he does. And with that in mind, we're coming to the Word tonight. Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Going to read a wonderful little part of history here in the life of the great Apostle Paul. He's on a voyage. He's in the midst of the sea. And much of what we've been singing about tonight, we find in this passage, certainly in a physical sense. And we're going to seek to take what is before us here and use it to apply gospel truth as we think of the ship of salvation. But before we read, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to give us help. Father in heaven, we thank thee for what has been described as the old ship of Zion. We praise thee for the day when we came on board, when we trusted in the Savior, were brought nigh to him by the blood, and we were rescued from our sin. We were sinking to rise no more. But the Lord intervened in mercy, and he called us in grace, and he lifted us from the angry waves of sin. And he brought us to that place of safety, security, and shelter. And this night we're in Christ. And we thank thee for it. We're safe in him. Lord, may we be thrilled in our heart as we listen to the gospel tonight again. May we praise God afresh for the position that we have in Christ. The fact that we're in the ship of salvation. Lord, may we shout from the depths of our hearts to others, Jesus saves. May those without Christ come to know him. Help us to preach your word. Give us, Lord, a clear mind. Give us a heart that is filled with the Lord. Give us the Holy Spirit. Utterances. Words to say. For Jesus' sake and for his glory we pray. Amen. We're taking up the reading at the 9th verse of Acts 27. In the journey, they have come to a place called the Fair Havens, as the previous verse indicates. And now verse 9 continues with the story. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Understood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and founded 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and founded 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all the ship 216 souls. Now go to the last verse just for sake of time. And the rest, some on boards. This is when the ship was broken up and they were making their way to the shore. Some of them swimming, as the previous verse indicates. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, safe to land. May God bless the reading of his word. And if there's one verse that I want to single out as we think of the ship of salvation, it is the words that we have in verse 31, where the apostle says to the centurion and the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And Saul of Tarsus was miraculously converted to Christ. Ananias was sent by God that he might receive his sight and given instructions with regard to his future ministry. God said, He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And all this was fulfilled in the life and the ministry of the apostle who became the great apostle Paul. He witnessed to both small and great. Among the great ones of the world before whom Paul had the privilege and the opportunity to preach the gospel were Roman rulers of rank and distinction that we read about in the latter chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. So we have Felix, the man that trembled having heard the apostle preach, I believe under conviction of sin when he heard that message of righteousness, judgment, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. We have Festus who told Paul that you're mad, much learning doth make thee mad. He said, you're out of your head, Paul. And then we have Agrippa, who was almost persuaded to be a Christian, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And in chapter 27, this chapter that we've come to this evening, Paul is on a sea voyage to Rome. For this simple reason, he had appealed unto Caesar. He had been committed into the hands of Julius, the Roman centurion, who with this detail of soldiers had the responsibility of conveying Paul to the city of Rome. Reaching the port of the fair havens, the captain of the ship recommended that they sail towards Rome, despite the fact that Paul had warned them of the danger. Read it there in verse 10. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And look at verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Everything seemed to be well for a time. All was calm and peaceful. The south wind blew softly. There was no sign of what Paul had warned about, that there would be great loss in this voyage. But it wasn't long before the weather changed and the conditions became perilous. Verse 14, not long after, there arose against the ship a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive. Can you imagine what's happening now? Here in the sea, verse 18 tells us that we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. You just picture this in your mind's eye out there in the midst of this terrible storm being tossed from one wave to another. Circumstances seemed hopeless. Nothing but doom and destruction faced the passengers of this ship. As verse 20 tells us about no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. After a time, Paul steps forward. And he says in verse 21, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. In other words, he is kind of saying, told you so. You should have listened to what I had to say to you. The man of God had a message of hope in the midst of the darkness and despair, a word of comfort. He speaks along these lines in verse 22, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. Then he speaks about one who had stood with him the night before, the angel of God, who said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. The situation physically and humanly didn't improve a lot. There was still great fear and alarm in the hearts of the shipmen. And when they reached shallow waters, they feared being cast on the rocks and killed. And so they decided to abandon the ship, to let down the lifeboat and get away. But Paul says in the words of our text, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And they listened to Paul. And they obeyed what he had to say. And thus you read the last line of great salvation for these people. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. My friends, life is a journey across the seas of this life. The duration of the journey is our lifetime, however long or short that might be. And the experience of life, even in recent days, has reminded us that sometimes it's just a few short years that God has allotted to us, at other times it's a longer space of time that we have in this world. But the journey across the seas of this life is our lifetime. And we have a destination. We're going to reach a destination, and that is eternity. And we're all heading there, every one of us. Like the passengers on Paul's ship, there is great danger we are facing. The storms of the wrath of God in a great swelling time of judgment and eternal punishment. The south wind may blow softly for a time. We see it there, people going through life and all seems to be calm and all seems to be well, and they don't have much thought of danger in their mind or in their heart, and they just sail on quite plainly in this life. But be sure the storm of judgment will come, and all hope of being saved will be gone completely. There is absolutely nothing that we can do when that great storm erupts around us. But here's the message tonight. I want you to grasp it. God has provided a ship of safety and salvation in the person of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a message. There is a message amidst the great storm that is going to come upon this world, the great storm of judgment. There's a message of hope, a message of comfort, a message of encouragement to gladden your heart. And it's simply this: Jesus saves. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come. But my friend, you need to come to him, and you need to get into him. You need to get into the ship of salvation. I want you to notice in the first place the location that is safe. And it is the ship of which our text speaks. Paul and his fellows are in a ship, a vessel that was made for sea. And they're on this perilous journey which will take them to their desired destination. And outside the ship there is danger, there is death and destruction. But inside the ship, as we read from this passage, there is safety and security. This picture presented in the story, in the instance that is before us, the instance that is before us here in the life of Paul, is a very fitting illustration of what it is to be in Christ. Speaking of the church of the Old Testament, God said, "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted." And here we see the journey of the people of God through the rough seas of this life, tossed as it were from wave to wave, facing the times, angry billows, great swellings, and boisterous waves. But we're in the ship of safety. You'll be familiar with the hymn that we sang tonight, "Ship Ahoy." And the very same thought is in that hymn. I'm not going to read the lines to you again, but I do commend them to you. There is a place of safety for the sinner, a refuge for his soul, a haven into which he can enter, and that is Christ. In Christ we will be carried to our eternal destination, heaven itself. Outside the ship there's danger, death, and destruction. But inside the ship, Christ Jesus the Lord, there's safety and security. Another vivid illustration of this, of course, is Noah's day. The old world is about to be destroyed for its wickedness. The sure and certain judgment of Almighty God is going to descend. His wrath against sin was about to be poured forth upon the old world. But God said, "Make thee an ark." And so Noah, in obedience to God, he built that huge vessel for the saving of his family. And it was a place of safety from the angry storm. A ship that would carry them to their destination in the new world, which it did. God gave the plan. In divine wisdom, he purpose, the method of escape. Noah followed the instructions of God and he built the ark, and it had only one door, you remember, set in the side of that vessel. And it was a place of perfect safety. When the great foundations of the deep were broken up and the mighty rains of divine fury descended, all who were inside the ark were sheltered and they were secure. My friends, Christ is the ark of salvation. He is the ship of security. Redemption was decreed in divine wisdom and ordered by a sovereign God in every detail. Christ went to the cross and purchased eternal redemption for all who would truly believe in him. And he is the door, the only door. "I am the door," he said. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And inside, there's safety. Outside, destruction. I had, until recently, a picture in my study. And it was a picture of the gospel ship. Some of you maybe have one. You have seen one. And I was given it many years ago by a man who passed into eternity. He left this life and he went to heaven. And he left me this picture in his will. He told me that I could have it whenever he was deceased. I've had it for many years. It's a ship of grace and truth, journeying from the shores of the great eternity to heaven itself. A ship that is founded on the words of Romans 1 and 16. "But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The ship has three distinct masts full of sails and little captions and verses of scripture written on every sail. On the foremost mast and uppermost sail are the words "to glory." And on the hindermost mast at the top are the words "from the land of gloom." It's a very interesting piece of artwork with most powerful and applicable texts, at about 40 texts in all. For example, there is a sail that says, "Captain." Who's the captain of this ship? Hebrews 2 and 10. "Lord Jesus Christ, captain of their salvation." And then there's another sail and it says, "Passengers." And it quotes 1 Timothy 1:15. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then there's another one and it says, "Fair." Quoting Isaiah 55 and verse 1, "without money and without price." Another that says, "time of sailing," and it cites 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." And yet another one, and it says, "accommodation." And the little verse is, "and yet there is room." Luke 14 and 22. So on and so forth. The only inconsistent thing that I've noticed is a lifeboat. I don't think you need a lifeboat on the ship of salvation. But my friends, the great question is this. Are you in the ship? Is there or has there been a day in your life when you came on board? A precise moment when you entered in. When you came into the place of safety, when you were put into Christ. Because there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, to be found in him. To be clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. Indeed, it's the only place of safety. In the second place, not only do we have the location that is safe, the ship, but we have the condition that is secure. And I want you to mark here the words "be saved" in our text. Be saved. Here's the thing that they longed for. It may be difficult to imagine the situation of Paul and the others that were on this vessel. unless you've been there. I don't know whether anyone in this meeting has been in such a situation before, but I know men who have. Men who have done business in the great waters. Fishermen. Think of the fishermen in Porto Vogue, many of them I knew so well. And they all have their stories to tell. Out there in the midst of the storm, in the great waters. Times of the great swelling. When they say one minute you're rising up on the crest of the great swell of the wave, and the next minute you're down in a kind of a valley, and there's walls of sea on either side of you. Times when you just toss to and fro in the midst of the storm. Paul and company are on the rough waters. They have been at sea for 14 days. The storm probably erupted soon after leaving Fair Havens, probably on the first day or the evening or at nightfall. Midnight of the 14th day has arrived. These tempest-tossed sailors were in great distress. They're in a sinking ship. They're facing certain doom. How dark was that night, that dreadful night? The deepness of the blackness is observed in the fact that there was no light from the moon or the stars. And all they could hear was the crashing waves as they swept over the bow of the ship and the sound of the billows dashing against the rocks or breaking on the beach, indicating that there was land ahead. The water was becoming shallower, and the threat of being hurled onto the midst of the rocks was imminent. And they feared the worst. We're going to die. We're going to perish here. The severity of the stress and anguish felt by the crew and passengers must have been very appalling. And these men, they longed to be saved. They longed for it. The one thing they desired more than anything else was to be rescued from certain destruction. But you see, all hope of being saved was taken away. There's nothing surer now than they were going to perish. They were going to die. There is not a grander condition in which to be found in a spiritual sense than in the condition of salvation. To be saved. To have the testimony saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men, and Jesus died for me. Too often the problem is that men do not sense and feel their need. Understand that. If you were in the midst of the physical ship, or if you were in the water and you were drowning, you would at once sense your danger. You would feel it because you're in the midst of it. I have spoken to those men who have been there. You remember many years ago, I think it was around the beginning of my ministry here, we had a man from Porto Vogue give his testimony called Adrian Coffey. I remember what happened on board and how these men, in a freak accident, were washed overboard. They were working on their nets on the ship, the boat that they were on, and this freak wave just washed them over, all of them. There was nobody left on the vessel, and there they were in the water. No, it wasn't a freak wave. They collided. They collided with a ferry, another vessel, that didn't even realize until later that they had hit their boat. That's what happened. And so it knocked the boat over like that on its side, and they fell into the water. And in the midst of the water, they were just watching this other boat gone off in the distance. You know, it was something like 40 minutes, 3/4 of an hour before that boat came back. Somebody had heard a knock and had raised the alarm. And whenever they realized what had happened, they came back. And there they were in the midst of the water, fighting for their life. And Adrian couldn't swim. He couldn't swim. He was trying to encourage the others to stay afloat. He couldn't swim. And he remembered he had his wellies on, and they were heavy, and they were dragging him under. And he knew that they were very difficult to get off. He had trouble getting them off. And he can remember just praying to God for the Lord to help him, to save him. And he said those Wellingtons just came off in the water. And he did manage to stay afloat until he was saved, but he knew the danger that he was in. He thought he was going to die. He really did. In fact, it was the thing that brought him to Christ. And there in the water, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And he didn't tell anybody until weeks later, just in case people would say, "Well, you were in danger, and that's the only reason why you came to Christ." But he really meant it, and the Lord changed him. And he's still walking with God today. I don't think you can understand the danger until you're in the midst of it. And I remember a skipper who lost two of his three crew members in a freak accident. And this time it was a wave just came out of nowhere, washed over the vessel, and again three men that were working there at the nets, they were brought into the sea. The skipper, he was left on the boat, and he says, "I'll never forget the cries and the screams of those men as they were washed over and they went down. And two of them were drowned that day." See, my friends, if you were in that physically, you would understand the danger. You would really know that you are in the midst of the danger. But the great trouble is that sinners don't sense their spiritual need, their eternal need. They don't see their danger. They're sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, and they don't know it. They don't feel it. They don't sense it. Oh, that God would waken them up. That you would be brought to desire to be saved. To feel your need of Christ. "I need to be saved. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." We must be saved. And praise God, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You need to realize your danger. You need to understand that your sin is taking you down, 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 down to the sides of a lost eternity. And you need to call out for mercy. That's what you need tonight if you're not saved. "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be. The condition that is secure, it is to be saved. I have one final thought, and it is the proclamation that is solemn. Look at our text again, all of it. "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Paul already had the promise from God. We saw that earlier in those verses, particularly from verse 22 to 25. Some of these men were so terrified that they were going to take their chances in the sea. They began to let down the little lifeboat. Paul once again addressed the crew and the passengers who were shivering through cold, wet, hunger and fear. And this is what he said in the words of our text. "Except ye these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." He repeated his assurance of safety for all who were on board. "Not a hair of their heads should perish, but they must remain in the ship." And they did. And the result was they were all saved, as the last verse, and we saw it there indicated to us. "And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." There were 276 persons on board, and there were 276 persons that were saved. And all who sail in the ship of salvation, they will be saved. Not one of them will be lost. Not one of them will perish. All will reach the shore of heaven. We have the guarantee from the Savior himself. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." That's the words of the Savior. The picture, of course, that we've read tonight is not a perfect one. It's not exact when it comes to the spiritual application. For one thing, our ship will never be broken. There's not the slightest chance that the ship of salvation will be broken. We don't have to swim the last bit of the way by ourselves or be carried on broken boards. And for another thing, none can fall out or get out of the ship by any means. But the truth of this verse is important, and it is applicable when it comes to the solemn truth of abiding in Christ or being found in Christ. That's our only hope of salvation. It's our only guarantee of reaching the fair shores of heaven. Except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you? Are you found in him? Are you in the ship of salvation? And if not, I implore you to enter in tonight. How do you do it? You do it by faith. By faith in the crucified Savior who went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life as a ransom price for our sin so that we might be saved. You need to flee to him. You need to get to Christ. When you come to Christ in faith and repentance, praise God, you're put into Christ. And that means you're in the ship of salvation. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. That's what you need to do. You need to cry to Jesus. Be like Peter, sinking in the midst of the angry waves, ready to perish. Lord, save me. And if you do that, he will. This poor man cried, the psalmist said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And some poor man, poor woman, young person here tonight cries to the Lord. He'll save you. Save you out of all your troubles. Save you from the awful storm of the wrath of God that one day will break forth upon the ungodly. You need Christ tonight. You need to come to him and get into him. He is the ship of salvation. Let us bow together before the Lord in prayer. Lord, take the physical picture presented to us in this history and make those very powerful and striking spiritual applications. Except we abide in the ship, we can't be saved. Except we're found in Christ, clothed in his righteousness, we cannot be saved. Lord, teach us the gospel. Teach those without Christ their need of him. Help them to sense their danger. Help them, Lord, to feel their danger, that awful danger that they're in. Awaken them. Bring them to their senses. Save them by your grace. And Lord, do it now. In Jesus' name. Amen.